Rata, Anakin said quietly. Rata, padunki, da bunk dunko, sala, sala. He was a slug, a baby slug, a helpless one, but Anakin knew what he'd grow into. When Rata sobbed himself to a gulping standstill and squirmed to see where the voice was coming from, Anakin couldn't quite reconcile his feelings. How can I hate a youngling? He's just a victim. He doesn't know what his father is. He just loves him and wants to go home. And Anakin understood that simple hunger better than any Jedi he knew. Wow, Ahsoka said. I don't know if he understood you or if you stunned him into silence, but he's calmed down. He's so cute. He's just like a little toy. You just volunteered to carry him, Snips. Fine. She squatted down and scooped Rata up in her arms. But Anakin saw the surprise on her face as she realized he was a lot heavier than he looked. How did you learn Huttese? Or were you just making that up? You pick up all kinds of things as a Jedi. Ahsoka wasn't stupid. She knew there was something eating away at him, and he hoped she'd think it was just a dislike of Hutts. It wouldn't make Anakin unique, that was for sure. Hutts didn't inspire affection. Let's go, Rex. This is Skywalker. Over. All clear? Rex's voice carried over the comlink.
All secure here, sir. Got him?
Safe and sound. We're coming now.
I'll send Korik back to make sure the droids don't get any ideas. Can't risk any accidents with the kid now.
Good point, Captain. Anakin sized up the Huttlet with a practiced eye. Ask Korik to fetch a backpack, too. Rata's heavy cargo.
Copy that, sir.
It was nearly done. Anakin waited, defending the door until Korik showed. Ahsoka did her best to keep Rata calm, rocking him. Nobody could ever accuse her of giving less than 100%. Cuddling a Hutt was beyond the call of duty, because she'd be in the freshers for a week scrubbing the smell off herself. So the Jedi Council can pull out all the stops for a Hutt criminal when it suits them. And they send me. Is Master Yoda trying to teach me a lesson about submission to the will of the Force? Does he even remember how I came to be a Jedi? Anakin wondered just how good, how clever, how brave he'd have to be to get any acknowledgement from the Jedi Masters. He didn't serve for prizes. He served because Qui-Gon Jinn believed he had a destiny, and he needed to know what that was to make sense of the pain and loss in his life. But he knew, as surely as he knew anything, that his troops liked him and cared if he lived or died, and that Kenobi did his best to make up for the sheer dislocation Anakin felt at being absorbed into this Jedi world of no families, no loves, and no passions. But I've got Padme. And nobody can take her from me. Not your rules, not your traditions, not your disapproval. I have to find my own way, Masters.
You okay, Sky Guy?
Ahsoka asked.
You look worried. You know I only call you that to get you to lighten up, don't you?
Yeah.
You worried that this has been too easy?
Not with half my men lying dead, no, not easy.
Sorry.
Boots thudded in the passage outside. Korik entered with a backpack in both hands and almost screeched to a halt as if he'd hit a wall. Anakin couldn't see his face, but the jerk of his head showed he had his helmet filters open and had inhaled Rata's distinctive aroma.
Sir, permission to speak freely?
Korik held the backpack out to Ahsoka.
That criffing Hutt is honking, sir. His dad must need a decomposing nerf as an air freshener. Can we stow him in the cargo bay?
My sentiments exactly, Sergeant. Let's go. Ahsoka said. Her sympathetic noise turned into a grunt of exertion as she heaved the laden backpack onto her shoulders.
He probably thinks we stink, too.
I bet you wish you had a helmet with filters right now, ma'am.
Korik adjusted the breather unit of his helmet and stood back to let the two Jedi exit the cell.
The captain's got a Lardy on standby, sir. You got everything you need?
Yes. Let's get out before I change my mind about the Hutt.
He doesn't mean it, Rata,
Ahsoka said, jiggling the backpack and trying to glance over her shoulder.
We need you to get your daddy to let us use his space lanes.
She paused, dropping her voice.
And I think you're adorable.
Anakin made his way back to the exit, checking every alcove for Dooku's real trap. There had to be one. Separatists made mistakes and lost battles, but not like this, not this blatantly. He saw daylight ahead and Rex silhouetted against it, Kama swinging as he turned repeatedly to check something outside in the courtyard. And he tried to work out what could possibly go wrong in these final minutes. An attack once we're airborne. Hawk was the best pilot of a brilliant squadron, and the Lat/I could take a serious pounding. They couldn't possibly have booby-trapped a baby. Seps would try anything, but there weren't many places to strap an explosive on a baby hut. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Not yet. Sky Guy! Anakin didn't look around. His gaze darted everywhere in the shadows ahead. Korok had their six. Don't tell me. The hut's thrown up on you.
No, but I think something's wrong.
Here we go. How wrong? Anakin slowed, ready to swing his lightsaber. He was prepared to believe that a Togruta could detect things that even he couldn't. Can you sense something?
I think I know why he was screaming. And then why he went quiet.
What? Spit it out, Snips! Ahsoka did a turn so that Anakin could peer into the backpack.
Look at him. He's making awful noises. Does he look okay to you? I think he's ill. Really ill.
Anakin couldn't recall seeing a baby hut on Tatooine, but he didn't have to be a doctor to see that Ahsoka's fears were justified. Rata the Hutt, his vengeful father's pride and joy, was dull-eyed, tongue lolling, struggling for breath. He was ill, all right. They now faced the prospect of handing back Jabba's kidnapped heir in a body bag. Now that's some trap. Dooku was much, much subtler than even Anakin had imagined.